Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place. Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com. That's Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take for November 9th, 2025, the Sunday after the election. As I've said the last few weeks, we're trying to change the Sunday Take a little, not radically, but go deeper. There's plenty of day-to-day conversations. There's plenty of issues. There's tweets and posts and day-to-day stories. And this week, I want to go deeper on what we learned from this last election and how we look ahead to the 2026 election. My guest this week is Polly Herr, state rep, mayor-elect, immigrant. And we're going to have a different kind of conversation. It's not what kind of mayor you're going to be. It's who are you? Because as one of 201 legislators, somebody who's understated, something you'll learn more about. I think there's something to be said for the understated, serious, focused, roll up your sleeves kind of candidate. And I don't wonder if that's not a bright spot from Tuesday in all of politics. I also want to address the fact that in Minneapolis, what was one of the nastiest elections leaves Mayor Fry with an opportunity to just be a strong mayor, which is what voters voted for 4 years ago. And the loudest voices in Minneapolis lost citywide. Some of the council won. But in St. Paul, it wasn't the loudest, most magnetic candidate. Instead, it was Polly Herr. The federal government shutdown and the actions of the last few days to deny food benefits to those who are eligible from the Trump administration strike a new nerve of not accepting defeat. And a bad look. And the denialism that has infused our politics. It's that denialism that I believe cost Mayor Carter his candidacy, his race, his office. And it's a denialism we've seen in the Walz administration as well. The news out of the Walz administration this week was from the Office of the Legislative Auditor, a nonpartisan, independent organization that said that the financial record keeping of the office of governor was not what people would expect. That story largely got the coverage it deserved, but I think it's something that's going to haunt the Walz administration for the next year. Last Sunday, Lisa Damith got into the race, and that shaped things up. But is the full Republican field taking shape? Will there be a U.S. Senate candidate that Republicans field that is more competitive? Those are the questions that start us thinking about 2026. I just want to say that I've been largely focused on issues not related to 2026, and much of that will change in the weeks to come on this show. Because after all, now that the 2025 election's over, we can learn more and watch more about what 2026 will mean. When we come back, a conversation with Kali Herr, mayor-elect of the city of St. Paul, state representative, and the political news story of 2025. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Well, can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place. Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. My guest this week is Mayor-elect Kali Herr. Representative Herr, I just first I'll say congratulations. I will say this is, I think, the political story of the year because you were on Sunday Take the week you announced. And when you talked about the considerations that went into the campaign, I even remember you saying you had met with Mayor Carter multiple times before you made your decision. And so I just think that says a lot about you as a person and how you put thought into this. Just talk about the idea of challenging Mayor Carter and when in your gut you said, yeah, I have to do this.
Yeah, I mean, well, first, thanks for having me on, Blois, and I appreciate it. The interesting thing was, like, the thought of challenging him, I'll be really honest, and I think I kind of wear my emotions on my sleeve too much, but it made me, like, sort of sick to my stomach to even think about it because, you know, like, I respect him as a person. It's very clear to me it was very clear to me that not only did other people still really like him, but I really liked him as a person, you know, and like, how do you, when you think about going against, like, because when you run against someone, you're really going against them. And how could I do this knowing that I respected this person because he did give me my start in politics, right? Like, I became his policy director. That was my first entry into politics in 2018. And so, you know, like, it was a tough thing to think through. And I didn't tell you this the last time I was on, but, you know, back in late 2024, there were rumblings that I might run against him. And at that time, I was never, not even a thought of mine. And I actually had a conversation with Mayor Carter saying, like, how much I respected him and that if I were ever going to run, one, I would never think about running against him, but if I were ever going to, I would have direct conversations with him. He would not be hearing it from other people. And we really left that conversation a really good place. And so, like, the thought that I would actually then less than a year later challenge him and win was just not something that was ever on my radar.
One of the things that I have known about you, you and I have gotten to know each other over the years. You were on the State Fair show. Some of my client work, we intersected related on financial services and financial literacy. And one of the things that I really have thought of a lot about in your run and this week is how you don't exude ambition. And that sometimes is not the best trait in an elected official or somebody running for office. You are just you. You say it, you just said it. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. How much of this was just getting out of your own comfort zone to kind of self-promote and raise your own profile? How hard was that?
That was really tough. And so it's funny because, boys, I told people many times, I'm not a politically ambitious person. I've never been. I never even thought, actually, in my other parts of my life, was I ever ambitious in those jobs? But I don't know why I kept moving up and kept getting to the next thing and kept. And the only thing that I can attribute that to is that when you don't do something because you want it and you do something because there's a need for you to fill that space, that it's just, it feels and looks very different, right? And so, so, I mean, it's tough for me because I don't enjoy doing interviews. I don't enjoy talking about myself. I don't like to have to put out all of these things that I've done or my accomplishments. And I don't know if that's just the nature of who I am as a person, or that's a part of my culture as a Hmong woman, an Asian person who, like, talking about yourself and thinking about the individual is just not something that we teach in our own culture. And so, so that was very difficult for me.
I was just going to ask you about if you thought that might be cultural, or it might be part of, you know, the way of the Hmong, or, you know, let's go back to your political start. Mm-hmm. You worked for Mayor Carter. Mm-hmm. When and how did you decide to run for state representative?
You know, you're the only person that's asked me that, Blois. You know, it's probably the most telling thing about me. So I came in to work for Mayor Carter right away, January 2018. And Erin Murphy was running for governor. And in January, there was a woman that had already announced that she was running. And it's interesting because there's 10 people running for my seat now. And like when she, when Erin was kind of exploring this, there was only one person that said that they were going to be running for Erin's seat. And I, you know, and I had already been approached by a couple of people to say, like, you should run. And I thought, no, I just took on this job. I'm so excited to work for Mayor Carter and I love his vision. And it was my first time in government. So I thought there's no way I would run for a seat. And then time sort of went on and I kept getting asked, like, I should run. And then it wasn't until April or May, where people in the district started coming to me saying, we would like for you to run because we would like to have an option other than the person is running now. And so I thought about it and I talked to Mayor Carter and I talked to my family and I did the assessment. I thought I would only run if Erin Murphy gets the endorsement because I don't want to take it away from her. If she comes back, she should go back to her rep seat. And so then she won the endorsement. And I thought, oh no, now I have to run. And so then, and at that time, Kristen Beckman, you know, who was a deputy mayor under Chris Coleman, said to me, you know, why don't you just go to this meeting, you know, the Senate district's meeting, and why don't you just go and say that you have intentions to run? And I was like, okay, I could go do that. And then I did that. And I didn't know that that meant I was going to run. So then after I went to that meeting, everyone's like, Kali Hur's running. And nobody knew who I was. And I was like, I went back to Kristen, like, oh my God, I'm running now. She's like, yes, you're running now. And I was like, oh. And so it was 3 weeks before convention. And I walked into this convention having never called delegates. Like I called some, I didn't know what to do. I had no idea to put a team together. And somehow I walk out of that convention with the endorsement. And I said that I would only run if I got the endorsement because I wasn't going to primary. I didn't even know what that meant. Like, and so then I got the endorsement that day and then I was running and then I won. And so like my life around politics has always been sort of somebody asked for me to do it because it mattered to them. Because I kept telling people, I'm not a politician. I'm not going to make promises. I can't do things. I don't know. I have to learn. And they would say, that's the kind of person we want running in the seat. We don't want a politician. And so I ran really like last minute in that. I ran through, you know, 90 days before this race, like, and I did a similar assessment of like where we were with people and where was the sentiment and what are my chances and what does the path look like? Like I did this, you know, sort of the same thing and thought, you know, if these conditions, like had Melvin gotten an endorsement, I wouldn't have run. Like if the DFL had endorsed Melvin in a normal process, I would not have decided to run in August.
When you think about this run, your previous run, hopefully you've had at least a little quiet time by yourself. What have you learned about yourself?
I don't know. You know, boys, I'm old. So like I've learned a lot about myself through this, through lots of processes. But I would say that like what was fortified for me was that you should always have hope. And that even when you think like there's no option, there's no way out, or all the odds are against you, that if you work hard and you have hope, that there's nothing that you can't do.
And how, I think, you know, look, I will just say it. I think that's one of the things that I, you know, have told my own daughter and my own son since they were little, right? Like work mm-hmm. hard, you can do whatever you want to do. I remember when my daughter was younger, reading about the importance of self-confidence in women from their father, that their father had to believe in them for them to believe in themselves. And mm-hmm. that was a little pressure, but I just remember saying, you can do anything you want. Talk about being an immigrant and the American dream and it, realizing that you could do anything you want, or what would it take to do what you wanted? Because I think in this era of discussing immigration, and we don't really ask successful immigrants of modern time what made them successful. What was it in St. Paul, Minnesota, that made you believe there was opportunity?
I want to first reinforce for you that having a father tell a daughter is so important. Like, and my mother always did too, but my mother was the one who instilled the values in us and gave us all of the skills and the traits and the values that really guide all of what I do. But it was actually my father telling me that I could be anything. And when I first got out of college and I didn't make any money at all, And like, I thought, well, you go to college, you get out, you make money. Cause my sister was an engineer and she got out and made money. And he used to say to me, like, it doesn't matter not where you start, it's where you're going to be. And you, in his exact words to me was, you might make pennies now, but you're going to make something else of yourself later that's bigger than this. And it was like, I never, and I was 21 when he said that to me. And I still hang on to that to this day, that whenever I feel like I'm getting nothing for what I'm doing, I always remember his words saying, it's going to lead me somewhere. Right. So I want you to know the things you are saying to her matters. She will remember it always.
Thank you.
And, you know, about the immigrant and coming to this country, you know, like, I don't even know if it's a value that is instilled in us, or like, it's something that we're told, like, you could have the American dream. Like, I don't even know if my parents ever used that word American dream, but what I did see was two people working so hard who were never home, who were making, trying to make ends meet, who struggled, but never, my parents never told us they were struggling. We could see the struggle, and they never had despair, and they never had like, I don't know. It makes me a little emotional. I don't know.
Okay.
I've been so emotional talking about this, because I don't think I've ever really had to think about my past, but like, to watch two people come with nothing to this country and like literally built everything from nothing. And like, how can you then as a child watch that and not think you could build anything when you have more than nothing, when you have something to build from? And so I don't know if it was something that was taught. It was just something that you see, and then you take that and you do something with it. And it's my father and mother always telling us that, like, you have to keep going. You have to keep trying. Like, there's, like, because you think, like, well, these people left places where there were bullets and bombs going off around them, and they were burying people that they loved. And here I am, like, how could I not, with everything that I have, even if we were on public assistance and I was only eating a meal a day, that was a meal more than they had. And, you know, like, we at least had shelter, and we at least had, like you had the bare minimum. You thought, how could you not do more? And so, like, part of it was always like to honor the sacrifice that my parents made. Even if I didn't know at that time that's what I was trying to do, I knew that I couldn't let them down and that failure was never an option. I don't know. Like, I wish I had a really good answer for this, but I just don't.
That was a pretty good answer. I think the reality of your story, or anyone's story, is the good answer. And I, you know, look, there are probably going to be moments where I, you know, critique your mayorship, but I think, but we'll be honest about it, right? We'll be straight about it, and you know how to get a hold of me. But I think that I will say this. I believe one of the reasons you were successful is because you were understated in the way in which you went about your work and your campaign. I remember one of the early conversations you and I had, and it was about a dynamic of a city license that somebody held that got messed up in the bureaucracy. And you were like, I keep hearing these stories. And the idea that you can just do better. I think we can do better. It's not a personal attack on Mayor Carter. It's just to do better. And so when you answer that question about growing up and seeing your parents struggle, but not having to talk about it, they never acknowledged it, but you saw it. And then in your race and deciding to run, you didn't, you know, it wasn't acknowledged. And that's why the opportunity arose to be successful in challenging him. Where you see this, and I think this has happened a lot in the legislature and in political culture across our country right now, is just this idea of we're so partisan that even people within their own party are afraid to critique their own party.
That's right.
And are there things that you feel as though you're more independent than kind of the loudest voices in the DFL, because you certainly aren't one of the loudest voices, haven't been one of the loudest voices. Are there things that, you know, now you're in an executive position that you may need to be a little louder, or maybe a little firmer in saying, this is the direction we're going, or we should go as Democrats?
It's so interesting that what you just said. from many perspectives. So I will say it's so interesting because the left thinks that I'm too liberal, too progressive, and the progressives think that I'm too conservative. And I just think that's so interesting that that must mean that I'm walking the middle the best that I can, because, you know, I often think about, did I ever want to do something more if somebody yelled at me? And the answer is never no, right? It's always no. And so I think, like, even if I have strong values, does it serve me and our party and our people that we're representing well if I'm a loud voice yelling at people? You know, and so, like, I've always been somebody who says, well, I can work quietly, but if you push me and we're fighting, oh, we're fighting, and I will fight you. And I've had some viral moments where I am a very strong person. And it's interesting because your description of me is not being the loudest. It's funny because at the legislature, people are very afraid of me. Whether you are a Democrat or a Republican, I remember when Melissa asked me to be her speaker pro tem, and she said, I need somebody who people respect, but they're also a little bit afraid of. And I can't think of anybody else better than you to do that. And so it's interesting to me that I'm looked at as somebody who's soft and wears my emotions on my sleeve, and that I'm not the loudest voice, or I might not be the strongest, but yet everybody who works with me, they love me, but they're a little bit afraid of me. And so.
Well, I think that's a good segue. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I am going to ask you about your relationship with Melissa Hortman. I've talked about it. I don't know if you've heard my story about the late Speaker Hortman when she told me about you. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back on Sunday, take more with Kali Herr, the mayor-elect of St. Paul. I'm Blaise.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Can you believe Bob's Discount Furniture opened 35 years ago? Back in 1991, landlines ruled the day. You could not binge watch your favorite shows, and podcasts were science fiction. A lot has changed since then, but Bob's is still doing things the Bob's way, bringing you top-tier style and features at 90s-era prices. Need to kick back? The Sedona Power Reclining Sofa is the ultimate relaxation station. Packed with genuine leather, power recline, built-in charging, cup holders, and Bob-a-pedic seating for just $12.99. You can even pair it with a matching love seat and recliner. And if you love hosting, the Homeworks dining set is built for summer parties with tons of hidden storage in the table and bench, plus comfy Bob-a-pedic foam for only $6.99. And don't miss the best-selling Cascade bedroom set. It features a trendy, reeded design, USB ports, felt line drawers, and three gorgeous finishes at only $2.50 per piece. Stop in this Labor Day weekend to celebrate 35 years of Bob's Discount Furniture.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
Who says Halloween only lasts one day? With Wayfair, one night of Halloween becomes a whole season at home. From larger-than-life yard decor and moody lighting to festive accents for every room in the house, Wayfair has what you need to make Halloween feel like magic all in one place.
Because the best Halloween memories aren't made in just one night. They're made all season long. Shop Halloween decor now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wilson. We're back on Sunday Take. My guest is Mayor-elect Herr. I teased it before the break, but I think it was 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, you were with me at the state fair and live on the porch. And I was trying to get legislative leaders, I think it was, 2022, to talk about the election and what the issues that voters were talking about in the House races. And I asked Leader Hortman to join me on the porch. And for whatever reason, she said, no, I don't want to do it. You should have Representative Herr on. And I said, oh, okay. And she said to me, she's the rising star and she needs the media reps. And I will tell you that I've spoken a lot about my relationship with Melissa. But like we had such a straight shooter relationship over the years that if she told me that, I was like, you better have Representative Herr on or ask Representative Herr next, because there. She was not just, a friend and obviously a colleague, but did she have an active mentor role? Did you guys talk about the gifts of governing and managing a caucus? Talk a little bit about not just what it meant to have her trust, but what you learned from her.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that she would have said that to you, because I used to not want to do any press or media. And she said,
that's why she wanted you to do it.
She would say to me, like, you're going to have to learn how to do this. And I said, well, it's not that I don't know how to do it. I just don't like to talk about myself or like, look at all these great things I'm doing. And she said, well, then you're the right person to do it. So go do it. So whenever she wouldn't be able to make it on show, she would send me, she would tell them, go talk to Khalid. And so I ended up doing a lot of press under her as the majority whip. And so it's funny that she would say that. I would say, so your question was like the an official mentorship. One day I'll probably write this story, Blois, but she and I didn't start off on the best foot. I remembered she and I got into a situation, and again, it's a longer story for another day. And she walked out of our meeting that day and she went to Ryan Winkler and said, that's your member now. And so she didn't want to have anything to do with me. And then I think that she saw that she and I were so similar. People would always say that she and I had very similar work style, that we understood big picture, but we were not afraid of diving into the weeds and knowing every detail of everything. And I think that's what made Melissa so strong, was it's hard to find a leader who can do both. And so I think that she saw that I could do the work, and she saw that people would respect me on both sides of the aisle, but people were also a little afraid of me on both sides of the aisle. And so she really trusted me. And I never thought that she looked at me as, like, I thought of her as my mentor, but I feel like she always just made me her equal, which was really interesting, because she just started bringing me along to all the things that she was doing, or when she asked me to be the chair of pensions or to be her speaker pro tem, like she just kind of brought me along with her. And we would, like, during session especially, we would meet weekly at her house, or we would, or we would hang out somewhere and talk. And it was like me with a group of really close people that she trusted. And it was like she just looked at us as peers, but we all looked at her with such, like, admiration, and like she was our mentor. But I don't think she ever saw it that way.
I would just say this, and now we're going to talk about what your job is as mayor, but I would just say this, as somebody who got to know Melissa, I've told the story on the show, in one of her early panic moments, where she had thought she and her staff told her to call me and say, is this a media problem? Is this not a media problem? And from that moment on, it's kind of like this old saying, E.F. Hutton, like when he speaks, people listen. And I think she just had a strong, kind of low level, non yelling and screaming style. Now, granted, I was on the other end of some criticism, and we would go back and forth. And at times it was playful banter, but at times it was really serious. Mm-hmm. So Let's talk about the job ahead. I know you've given this interview a lot, including earlier this morning on Fox 9. I know you've talked to plenty of people, so I don't need to go into the weeds, but talk about the details that you want to get your head around and your hands around when it comes to governing the city of St. Paul.
I mean, I think that we need to get a handle on how we do the business of the city of St. Paul. I think that everyone who comes into public service, whether you are an elected or you choose to work in government, is that no one comes in wanting to do a bad job. Everybody comes in knowing that they have to work really hard. And so this is not a reflection on city staff, but that we do really have to understand how do we execute on our core businesses, whether it is you're somebody who delivers, you know, library services, or you're somebody who delivers, you know, people's licenses and permits, or how we plow people's streets, that we have to be willing to look at ourselves, which means like really bringing the employees in. I hear often that the employees are the ones closest to the work and the ones who know what the solutions are, but leadership doesn't always listen and doesn't ever bring them in. And so I am trying to figure out a plan for how I systematically go through each of the department and work with department heads, but meet with the employees to also say, like, what is it you're seeing wrong? What do you want? How would you do your job differently if you were being asked to do it differently? And really then taking all of that into putting a plan together on how do we reform all of the ways we do our work? Then how do we work cross-departmentally? Because one of the other big criticism I hear is that the departments don't work with each other or talk to each other. Maybe the department heads do, but the employees don't do cross-functional, maybe to the degree that we would like to. And so how do we make sure that at the core of anything I do to move forward, I have to make sure that my city executes in its business well. And so that's really what I want to focus on and work on. And it's not shiny. It's not interesting. No one's ever going to write about that. But my goal is that if I do my job right, you will never want to write about what I'm doing, and I'll never be in the news. And it falls in line with Melissa telling me I should be more in the news, but I hope not to be at all.
Well, you will be in the news, and a year from now and 3-4 years from now, people will say, what kind of mayor is Mayor Her? What do you want them to say?
I want them to say that I put my nose to the grindstone and I did the work, and that it wasn't about me and it wasn't about making a name. It was about making sure that our city functioned for people. And that's what I hope that people say, really.
Well, I know this isn't the last time we're going to talk. I really appreciate you having this conversation on this Sunday morning, and I hope you get some sleep in the next week, too.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with people and just share things that the press doesn't usually ask me about.
Sounds good. When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to Sunday Take. That conversation had me just thinking about the honesty and the transparency of Kali here as a person. You know, look, we've entered an era in politics where the line of the spectrum that you learned about in civics class is now a circle. And the populism of the left and the populism of the right and the loud voices on the right and the loud voices on the left are the voices that get the attention. But it's not the workhorses that need to get the work done. Governing is most important. And it sounds like Kali Her understands that. You'll be judged on it. I'm sure there'll be things that get critiqued about it. But I think there's a new quiet confidence in the city of St. Paul. And as I said a few times this week, this is the most St. Paul election ever, and Minneapolis was the most Minneapolis election. This week's take is really about something that I've talked a lot about, but I feel like I've found the pulse of it, and now we have some data and some information to look at it. And I'm going to start in New York City, where a socialist won, running against an incumbent mayor, Eric Adams, who had been indicted, against a disgraced former governor who was trying to reinvent himself, and against Curtis Sliwa, who has become a little bit of a gadfly over the years, has done important work, but has run for office before and lost. So in the largest city in our country, the most energetic city, a city that has the spectrum of all things, the concept that a socialist won is proof point one this week, the denialism that the populist feelings of the left have power. Now, Bernie Sanders may have not been presidential candidate, and AOC may sometimes feel loud, but the populism of President Trump is what has made MAGA and the MAGA movement real. And now Democrats have that moment. Because let's face it, Joe Biden was nominated by an inside game, and Kamala Harris became the nominee after another inside game. And ultimately, in these parties, it is the voters who should and are deciding. Now, in New York, you would think that there would be another more moderate candidate, perhaps even a woman, a corporate executive who may be a Democrat and qualified to run for mayor, but ultimately, Mamdani won. A Democratic Socialist won overwhelmingly, even though nearly 70% of those who voted for him say they aren't socialists. And so that recipe of energy and optimism and change is what got him over the hump. Now come to St. Paul, where Kali Her was not Mamdani-like. She was not more liberal or even necessarily more conservative than Mayor Carter. But what she ran on is that maybe she was more competent to run the city government. Story after story about a non-responsive city government, story after story of a lack of engagement by city employees, unanswered voicemails, unanswered emails, was the undercurrent that washed away the trust from the Carter administration. There is no doubt that Mayor Carter is a very articulate speaker, energized, visible. But people stopped buying what he was selling. And the biggest issue was that he downplayed the issues of the city. And that is the denialism that's out there. Republicans also can't have denialism about the results of Tuesday nationally for them, or the challenges that Republicans may face a year from now if the economy doesn't recover, that job losses increase, that President Trump continues to push for things that most Americans and Minnesotans are not in favor of. Immigration reform is one thing. Pulling a preschool teacher out of a school is another thing. Feeling. Now, I want to call this out because I know some of you listening are going to say there's a false equivalence between what Democrats have denied and what MAGA and Trumpers deny. And I am here to say that that answer isn't good enough. Because the everyday Minnesotans, the everyday Americans, are frustrated with both. There's a saying that about trust and honesty that I think applies. And it's, you know, a little harsh for a Sunday morning, but don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. That's essentially what Democrats have done about the problems of our urban cities. That's what Republicans have done about the actions of President Trump and the economy since he was elected. Americans know, Minnesotans know, And so my advice to all candidates, especially those on the ballot in 2026 or those with aspirations in 2026, is be straightforward. Be Kali her. Call it like you see it. Don't appeal to the groups that are just going to give you the endorsement that you want so you can get the PAC check that you need. I think that's what those who live in the bubble of the electorate and the electeds don't understand. And I think it's the Achilles heel of Governor Walz next year. Now, if Trump is unpopular and the economy is in the tank, Governor Walz's chances are better than ever. But I'll bring you back to a year of 2002. We had a tragic plane crash where Senator Wellstone and four others died. And Democrats thought, well, we can win this. They anointed former Vice President Mondale to be their nominee for Senate. Roger Moe, the consummate insider, was finally their nominee for governor. And a scrappy kid from, say, South St. Paul, and a mayor who had switched parties, ultimately won. And that's because in 2002, Minnesota felt different than the rest of the country. After all, that was George Bush's first midterm, post 9/11. Republicans were okay, but they had started to lose their luster nationally. But in Minnesota, the voters said, you know what? We're going to go a different direction. And so as we get through this next year, there's a few things we'll watch. One is, don't just call it a false equivalency. Actually dig in and find out what the facts and the mood of the people are if you're running. Don't deny something's a problem if it isn't, if it is, and if people are offended or it gives them a feeling. And then finally, self-available, visible, and transparent with the voters. Because Mayor Carter didn't make himself visible or accessible. And the undercurrent washed away the facade that he was unbeatable. That's this week's take. We'll be back next week. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday at 6:20. You can always get our newsletters at thedailyagenda.com. Thanks for listening and have a great week.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.